Hello, welcome back to the Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week, let's talk abs. So, you know, for years and years and years and years, women wanted abs. They thought it was the be all and end all. They thought it was sexy. They thought it was a great thing to have. It was one of the most, I suppose, requested. Any client that came to the door when I walked in the gym, their ambition was to have abs. That was the biggest request. See this? And they'd point at their belly. Want to get rid of this? Want abs? And, you know, they'd actually go out of their way to say to me, can we put sit-ups into my program because I want abs? And listen to this saying, and I mean it. Abs are made in the kitchen. You need to have a seriously low body fat percentage to see your abs, let alone are you actually training them 3 to 4 days a week? Progressive overload, you know, not using the same weight every week for a year. I mean, like, you know, going up weight every week or every second week, not doing 10 reps for 3 rounds with the same weight every week for a year. Like, that shit's not gonna get you anywhere. Your muscle's gonna be like, hello, like, this weight got really, really easy after 2 weeks. Like, where's the challenge here? I've teared and repaired myself. I need a bigger challenge here because this is way too easy for me. And that's what progressive overload is. It's challenging your muscle. Like, so if progressive overload would be, say, going into a gym and doing a barbell back squat. So you have a barbell on your back and you're doing a squat, right? Let's say you're doing 40 kg and you're doing 3 rounds, sorry. And you do 7 reps in the fourth round, 8 reps in the second round, and 8 reps in the third round. Next week, you're going to still have 40 kg, but you're going to try to get 7 to 8 reps in the fourth round, 8 to 9 reps or 10 reps on the second round, and try to get 9 to 10 reps on the third round as well. And then when you can comfortably get 3 rounds of 10, then try to go up to 45 kg because your muscle is going to be like, yeah, I've conquered this weight now. It's a bit easy for me. And, you know, when your muscle tears and repairs, it's basically tearing itself because you've, you know, challenged it with like a really difficult weight at the time. And your muscle basically tears and repairs because it's like, I don't want that to happen again. So I'm going to tear and then I'm going to repair myself to prevent the muscle from tearing using that weight again. So when you go back into using 40 kg, it's going to find it a bit easier because it's learned from its mistakes. That's what it's like. And then when you go up to 45 kg, it's going to be like, oh, this is a bit heavier now. We aren't on 40 kg anymore. So it's going to tear and repair again. So the following week, it's going to come back that little bit stronger. So you can do an extra rep or two. And then the same thing will happen again. So that's what progressive overload is. So if you're going into a gym or one of these, like, you know, bootcamp classes, and you're picking up the same weight every time you go in there for a year, that's not progressive overload. You're just doing cardio. That's basically what it is. And you need to do that shit with your abs as well. You need to be using like progressive overload on your abdominal muscles. Now, when you're doing compound movements like a squat, a hip thrust, a deadlift, like your tens in your core anyway, and you are strengthening it, but you need to do isolation movements as well for your abs because, you know, abs are really important. They really are important. Like, they help with posture. They can prevent a lot of back pain if you have a really, really strong core too. And you'd be surprised how much you use your core in exercises. And that's why you need them, all right? So there's obviously way more reasons to have abs other than vanity, visible abs, other than vanity. You do have abs. Everybody has abs. If you tense your abs now, you can feel them. But the only way you're going to see your abs is start in the kitchen, and that's with your diet. You need to have a really, really low body fat percentage to see abs, okay? And when you see people step on stage and they're competing in bodybuilding competitions, or they're doing a fitness photo shoot, or they're just very, very, very athletic, like footballers, Olympic swimmers, people, you know, just really, really hybrid athletes, like, these have abs by accident because, you know, they're just expending so much energy and their diet is so stringent for the amount of work that they're doing, that, like, sometimes, you know, they might not even plan on having abs, but they're a result of the work that they're doing. So that just goes to show the amount of work involved in maintaining visible abs. And let me tell you something, these people who are in the Olympics, or they're, you know, they're doing bodybuilding prep, or they're doing a photo shoot, like, they don't have abs all year round. They don't, because it's not sustainable. Because in order for you to have visible abs all year round, you'd have to live like a monk and you'd be fucking miserable. Like, you have to live, lads. Like, you have to live. You have to be able to go out and have a drink with your friends. You have to be able to go out and have a takeaway. Yes, like, some people go into monk mode for like 16 weeks of the year. They just put the head down, they put the work in, they step on stage, do their photo shoot, or, you know, they do the Olympics. And then what happens is they have some downtime and like they're not posting the pictures, like these people who constantly put pictures of their six pack, they're not putting up the pictures where they're having some downtime and they have a bit of fluff on their stomach from going on holiday or, you know, an all-inclusive cruise for 2 to 3 weeks and they come back with an extra few pounds. They're not putting up those pictures, you know, because what happens is they take these stock photographs, all right? They bulk up on the photographs. They tense the abs in the mirror. They go into the gym while they have visible abs for 2 weeks to 3 weeks of the year, okay? When they're really, really, really lean, they take loads of photographs. And what happens is they disperse them throughout the year and they're creating the illusion to people that they have abs all year round, especially the people who aren't in like the fitness industry who would be none the wiser. And they're just thinking, oh my God, that's the body I want. I want to look like that all year round. And the people in those photographs don't even look like that all year round. They don't. Do you know why? Because they'd be fucking miserable. Because you have to make so many sacrifices in order to look like that. Do you like going for an unplanned meal with your other half on the weekend? Say goodbye to that. Do you like having ice cream with your kids at a moment's notice? Say goodbye to that. Do you like going around to your friends and munching on a bag of Doritos and a chocolate bar at a moment's notice? Say goodbye to that. You literally have to account for every fucking calorie going into your body. Like you have to weigh everything. Everything has to be accounted for. I've seen people doing like stage prep or like photo shoot prep. They've gone into restaurants with their friends or their other half with their own lunchbox. They've weighed and cooked their own food and they bring it into the restaurant and they have to ask the staff, is it okay if they eat their own food? Because they won't go off plan. Now, ask yourself, are you prepared to do that? For someone who's been eating what they want, whenever they want, whatever they want, can you literally like switch that off overnight and then take up that lifestyle? You can't. You won't adapt to that straight away. You wouldn't. I mean, like you have to accept that these people have been doing this years. They've been putting the foundation and the groundwork in years, okay? And then you're kind of coming along with like no gym experience, no fitness experience, and you think you can just adapt to that lifestyle overnight. Like you have to break yourself in. Like when I first signed up with my coach, I didn't do a photo shoot straight away. I just wanted to do a normal like lifestyle transformation. I wanted to lose a bit of body fat. I was getting tired of how I looked. I didn't feel confident anymore. And, you know, we did that for like, I'd say about 8 months before I actually said, no, I think I've lost enough body fat now to know what it's like to actually kick it up a gear now, go for another goal and do a photo shoot prep. And, you know, I remember I went to 3 of my friends' 30th birthday parties while I was on photo shoot prep. And this is what I'm talking about, where like you know, when you're just doing a normal lifestyle transformation, you can kind of like, you know, have takeaways in moderation, alcohol in moderation. But when you're doing a photo shoot prep, like why would you spend all that money to do that? Knowing that you're getting photographs taken of yourself, you know, after 12 weeks and knowing you didn't put in the full effort and the photographs come back and you're like, I don't look my best there. And that's because I didn't make the sacrifices that were needed for this. So that's what I'm saying. Like I went to my friend's 30th birthday party, 3 of them. All right. 3 of them had their 30th birthday parties. I didn't drink at them. I didn't even eat the finger food. I sat there with a glass of water. You know, am I proud of my achievement? Yes. Was I miserable the night I was sitting there at my friend's birthday and I wanted to make memories? Yes, I was. But I signed up for a photo shoot and that's what you sign up for. You have to sign up for that sacrifice. But looking back, yes, I was still present. But, you know, in an ideal world, I would have liked to have a couple of drinks, have the crack, enjoy some food. And they are the things you have to think about. Are you that person? Are you going to be able to just switch that mindset off and be like, I'm not that person who eats finger food anymore. I'm going to sit here with a glass of water. If you don't drink, happy days. That's half, you know, half the work quit off you. But sometimes that is a lot to people. That's the way they socialize and that's the way they enjoy themselves. And you just have to be conscious of that. If you want to, you just have to kind of get a smack of reality here. If you want to maintain visible abs all year round, that's the type of shit you have to do. Sit there with a glass of water at like someone, you know, like a close relative's birthday party. Or if your kids want to go to McDonald's and they're like, why aren't you eating McDonald's, mommy or daddy? Like, how are you supposed to explain to a 4-year-old, because I want to maintain visible abs all year round, son? Like, it's when you actually say it out loud. So I just want people to be aware that even the people who have abs don't have them all year round. Okay. Now, a lot of people think that abs will equal happiness, and that when they have abs, visible abs, that they're going to be happier and like that will tick all their boxes and they won't have any problems. You're still going to have financial problems if you have visible abs. You're still going to have relationship problems if you have visible abs. You're still going to have a lot of problems once you have visible abs. It's not going to fix everything. And, you know, you think they're going to make you happy, but in order for you to have visible abs, you actually have to give up the shit that does make you happy. And that's human connection. Going for ice cream with your kids, going for an unplanned takeaway or meal out with your other half, going to your friend's birthday and enjoying alcohol and finger food. you know, or like good luck to going on holidays as well. Like, that's just out of the question. I know a couple of people who've gone on holiday during stage prep and photoshoot prep. To be honest, wouldn't be my cup of tea. When I go away, I want to be able to eat what I like and go down to the breakfast buffet and help myself. I don't want any rules and regulations, you know, so that's just something to be aware of. And then next up is, can you target body fat? Because again, a lot of people who would have come into me on the gym floor, they would have just pointed at their stomach, this, want to get rid of this. And you don't realize that you can't pick where you want to lose body fat. Now, in saying that, there is research surfacing that you can, okay, but it's not how you think, and it's not by doing sit-ups, and it's not by doing arm exercises to get rid of, you know, arm fat, or like that saggy arm fat that us women get, bingo wings. It's not true that, okay, and it's not how you think, and it's still in the very, very early stages, but they are saying that it is possible. But again, I'm not going to go into detail on that because I'm not a doctor, but I have been listening to a lot of podcasts on it, and I've been doing my research, and it looks like it is on the horizon, but it's not how you think you will lose it, all right? There's a lot of supplements involved and a lot of other shit, but I'm not going to get into it because I actually don't want to encourage it. I would actually just, you know, put out a blanket statement there and think, losing body fat is like a basin of water, okay? If you have a mug and you're going to that basin of water and you're going to the corner of the basin of water, like, you're going to scoop out a mug of water, but overall, the level of the water in the basin is going to go down. It's not one corner, and it's the same with body fat, okay? When you're exercising and you're in a calorie deficit, you don't just lose body fat in your left arm, okay? It goes all over, and let's just look at it this. Look at this, like, two piles of snow, okay? A huge, 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 huge pile of snow, and then a really, really small pile of snow, okay? And the sun is beaming down. Those two piles of snow are going to melt. But which one's going to melt first? The smaller pile of snow. The bigger one is going to take longer because there's more of it, all right? It's more dense. So you might not carry an awful lot of body fat in your arms or in your face. People don't genuinely, you know, they don't generally carry a lot of body fat in their face. And that's usually the first place where people notice that it goes or that it disappears from, is your face, because there's less of it there. So it's going to disappear quicker. You know, if you don't carry much body fat in your arms, you'll probably notice that your arms will appear a lot slimmer in the early stages of a diet because there's not an awful lot of body fat to go to diminish from that. It won't be, you know what I'm talking about, sorry, I'm mixing my words up here. But if you carry an awful lot of body fat in your bum and in your midsection, that's probably one of the last places it's going to disappear from because there's more of it there. So the body fat is still going, but you're not noticing as much in the midsection because there's more of it there. So you can't really see it disappear as quickly as it does from your face or your arms or your feet. Because let's be honest, okay? If you could pick where you wanted to lose it, do you not think you could pick where you wanted to store it as well? And we'd all be going around with really slim waistlines and we'd store our body fat in places where we wouldn't see it, like our feet. So we'd all be going around with massive clown feet and really slim waists, all right? And it does come down to genetics as well. So it's actually very interesting that if you look at your mother and father and look where they store their body fat, all right? Like for me, I wouldn't store an awful lot of it in my midsection. I would store it in my bum and my thighs and my arms and my back, funny enough. Like I would store an awful lot of body fat in my back. And I didn't really notice it until I took my pictures when I first started with my coach. I said, God, I actually hold an awful lot of body fat in my back. And I would look at myself in the mirror and think, do you know what? I actually don't think I need to lose that much body fat. But it was all in my back. So it was when I took those pictures, I was like, so that's where it's been stored. And then you have other people who would have, you know, really slim arms and slim legs, but they would hold the majority of their body fat in the midsection. And, you know, they're thinking, oh, they're like 3 months into this, nothing's moving, I'm not losing any body fat. And it's like, you are. Like the scale is dropping. Okay, you're losing inches and you're looking at yourself every day in the mirror, and that's why you're thinking you're not losing anything. But the people you haven't seen in 2 to 3 weeks, they're going to notice it. They're going to notice it in your face. That's where people usually notice if you haven't seen them in the wild. They'll say, God, you've lost weight in your face. But again, it's a bigger pile of snow, all right? And it's going to take longer to melt as opposed to the smaller pile of snow, all right? But you can't target body fat the way you think you can. Like doing sit-ups, it's not going to get rid of body fat. Yeah, you're going to build abs if you're using progressive overload, but there's still going to be a layer of body fat over it. You have to lose the body fat first for the abs to pop, all right? And that shit's going to take time. It really is. It's going to take time, and it's going to take longer than you think, and a lot of patience is needed. But just having visible abs, just to kind of, you know, wrap this up on the whole ab subject, it's not the be on and end on and be all and end all. And people who have visible abs don't have them all year round either. And, you know, do you want to be miserable just for the sake of, you know, we live in Ireland, showing off your abs for 10% of the year? Probably not. And there's going to be a lot of sacrifices that needed to be made, that need to be made. Like, you've spent your life, let's say you're 40 years of age, you've spent 40 years of your life eating whatever you want, whenever you want, and you think you're going to be able to just switch that off overnight and automatically have abs in 3 months. You know, it's it really does come down to genetics. So some people are just gifted with genetics and they just appear leaner. It's easier for them to get abs. Men, they don't struggle as much to get abdominals as women do. And, you know, what happens is when women step on stage doing body prep competition or bodybuilding competition, sorry, and photo shoot prep, when they get into extremely lean condition where they're like 5-6% body fat, women can lose their period. Like, they actually lose their period because their body is trying to tell them something's not right here. You are not healthy enough to carry a child. Like, you are way too thin. And what happens then is they don't get a period because they're like, you're not healthy enough to carry a child. And then they might lose their period for 3-4 months. And that's the price you have to pay for being in extremely lean condition. All right. All year round. Your own coach wouldn't even recommend you to be in shape all year round, or I suppose visible abs all year round. And you have to go through positions, periods of building muscle. You can't diet for the rest of your life. And in order to build muscle, you have to increase your food. You either have to be eating at maintenance calories to build, you know, some muscle, a significant amount of muscle, but the surplus is where the big muscle comes in, you know, the big muscle tissue. And you have to water a plant for it to grow. And the way your mother used to say to you when you were little, if you don't eat your fruit and veg, you're not going to grow. And your muscle needs to get fuel from somewhere. It needs to get fuel from somewhere. And it's not going to, you can't pour from an empty cup. What happens is when you build muscle, you need to be at maintenance or in a surplus, okay? And then what happens is you're in a building period. That's what they call it. For, let's say, 12 to 16 weeks, maybe longer sometimes, all right? Some people do it for a year. And then what happens is they go into a deficit then and they peel back the body fat to reveal the muscle that they've built, okay? So this is where a lot of women go to these body pump classes or HIIT classes, you know, and boot camps. And they're like, oh, you know, I want to get rid of my bingo wings or like my belly fat. And it's like, it needs to meet in the middle here. Like, you need to be progressively overloading in the gym and you need to be doing obviously some cardio and being in a calorie deficit. Because you need to build the muscle force and then go into calorie deficit, okay? Because what happens is when you build muscle, let's just imagine your arm here, okay? And you carry a bit of bingo wing and you're like, I want to get rid of this fat that's hanging down off my arm. If you just do cardio alone, what's going to happen is, yeah, you're going to drop body fat, but the skin, the excess skin is still going to be there. But if you're doing progressive overload in the gym, all right, and you're doing bicep curls, all right, your bicep is that big muscle between your shoulder and your elbow, and you are progressively overloading for a good few months, and what happens is you build muscle, all right? And then when you go into a deficit and you drop body fat, the muscle is going to take up surface area in that arm and there's going to be less saggy skin because the muscle is taking up space, and there's going to be less body fat because you've burned some body fat, all right? But when you're just doing constant like HIIT classes, body pump classes, they are just primarily cardio. Like, you're not doing like the big compound movements because there's not enough time to rest. You need to really rest after those type of movements. That's why they're all like these real quick movements, like burpees and jumping up and down and jump squats and all and TRX, because they're quick. There's a quick turnaround, and like 30 people in a class, you know, taking barbells apart, putting plates on and stuff, that shit takes time. But you need to go through phases throughout the year where you're building muscle. And then, you know, increase your cardio. That could be like doing the Stairmaster, increasing your steps and being in a calorie deficit to reveal the muscle and peel back the body fat. Okay. And it's the same if you want visible abs, except in most cases, and for most people as well, you have to be extremely lean to see your abs pop. You know, like, yeah, you can challenge, you can grow your ab muscles. But at the end of the day, if there's still a layer of body fat covering, you're not going to see them. You can feel them, but you need to be extremely lean. And that type of leanness requires an awful lot of sacrifice and living life like a monk, okay? It's not sustainable. And just to finish that, the people who have visible abs only have them for about 2 weeks of the year, and they just take loads of photographs and then like throw them out throughout the year on Instagram, and they create the illusion that they're like that all year round when they're not, okay? And it just think about it. Are visible abs worth it? Have you got what it takes to have visible abs? And if you do, 2 weeks of the year is all I'd be able for, because I love me a hotel breakfast buffet. I do. I love going out for a couple of drinks every second weekend with my friends. I love going for, you know, an off-plan meal with my other half, because that's my way of spending time with him, because we work all week and that's our time to spend together. You know, or like he cooks me a meal and I don't want to say, sorry, have you weighed that? Do you know how many calories and macros is in it? Or do you know what the macros are? Like, that's the way you would have to live. Like, you would have to cook all your own food. Like, you'd just be miserable. So unless you're an athlete or you're doing a photo shoot or you're stepping on stage, ask yourself, is having abs worth it? All right. So I'm going to wrap up the podcast there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm actually going on a fitness retreat next Tuesday to Portugal. So if you're listening to this in the future, like a year later, I am going on a fitness retreat to Portugal. All right. Doesn't matter if it's next week. And I'm looking forward to it, to, you know, spending 5 days with people who are like-minded like myself with fitness and nutrition. And it's a great way to network. And it's great to actually go abroad to a hot country and not build a holiday around drinking. It's going to be refreshing, to be honest. And I just finished my calorie deficit as well. I've been in it for 16 weeks. And I was getting to the point as well where I was getting really, really heavy diet fatigue. That's basically where like you're just mentally done with the dieting. Like after 16 weeks, even the most experienced people will get fed up with dieting. So, you know, I'm looking forward now to increasing my food and going on holiday, enjoying myself, eating what I like. And when I come back then, what will happen is when I increase my food, my energy will come back, my energy levels will increase. I'm going to have more power in the gym. And what happens when I have more power in the gym? I'm going to get stronger. And what happens when I get stronger? I'm going to build muscle. So then when I go into a deficit then in springtime next year, because I'm not doing another calorie deficit during the summer because it was actually quite tough because I forgot how much shit is on. I did find it challenging. But yeah, and then when I go back into a deficit next year, I'm going to have even more muscle tissue to reveal underneath the body fat. You know, increasing food, you are going to carry some body fat. And I know people are going to be like, but Anya, you just did a calorie deficit like for 16 weeks and now you want to put back on the weight. No, you won't put back on the weight, especially if you have a coach and you're doing it in a controlled manner. I will try maintain this physique as much as possible. Especially when you have a coach, you're going to be accountable. You're not going to be like eating shit like for the sake of eating shit. I know I'm going on holiday, but I'm not going to be doing that for 3 months. I'll still be eating whole foods. I'll still be hitting my protein goals. I'll still be going to the gym, but I'll just be having more whole foods, if you know what I mean. My calories will increase and I'll just be having more of those type of foods. And maybe just, you know, an extra bit of room for an extra chocolate bar, maybe. I don't know, but yeah, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to build more muscle tissue and I'm looking forward to it. But when you are in a surplus, gaining some body fat is inevitable. But if you do it in a controlled manner, it's not going to be a whole lot. I might put on an extra 2 kg, maybe. But you know what? If it's 3 or 4 kg, a lot of that could be muscle. Muscle and fat actually weigh the same, but muscle takes up less area. So that's what recomp is. You're standing on the scale. It's not dropping, but your body is changing in the mirror. And that's from building muscle and dropping body fat simultaneously. Yeah, so I'm going to wrap that up there and I will pre-record next week's podcast because I won't be here, and I'm going to do it on building a training program, okay, for yourself. If you want to build your own training program, what are the principles building your own training program, okay? So thanks for tuning in and see you in the next one.